رحيم قل كل يعمل على شاكلته فربكم أعلم بمن هو أحدى سبيلا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Cultivating a divine disposition has been our topic. Tonight is lecture number 6. Up until now, all of you have been brilliant with me. You've been following along. You've been giving me feedback. You've been teasing me with the word chocula. I'll take it. But as a speaker, it's amazing what you can see up here and what you feel up here. And it's been an incredible feeling up here the entire ashra. What I mean by that is that I feel like we're moving together as one big crowd. And the questions have been incredible. Last night, the Q&A with the youth was one of the best I've had in terms of programming. The sheer numbers of those youth that chose to spend Saturday night with me outside at the mosque. And believe me, I stopped them at midnight, otherwise they could have went till 3 o'clock in the morning. That's the beauty and the jazbah of our youth. One of the best programs I've attended was one from last night, alhamdulillah. We've been trying now for the past 6 nights to understand this usage of the term chocula. And I said way back when now, almost a week ago, that I would spend the entire ashra dissecting one word of the Quran, if not for anything else, to show all of you and myself the level of depth in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last night we got to a point now where we got to the first amil of trying to achieve this shakilaya tawhidi, this divine disposition. Because the verse is very clear, right? That you are, we are eventually going to what? Be true to our shakila, our disposition. Eventually, when those filters and those outer shells are gone, maybe later on in our life, we end up being true to our shakila. Now, if that is a corrupt disposition, then our actions will reflect that. If it's divine, inshallah, then our actions will reflect that. And yesterday we talked about the fact that this cannot be done without tawfiq ilahi, without divine inspiration. Now, I took a little bit of a different approach in defining tawfiq. Tawfiq is used a lot, albeit once in the Quran, but several times in our hadith. But as it is defined sometimes on the minbar and amongst all of you, it's Allah's inspiration. It's the opposite of the waswasa of shaitan. But that's not the approach I took yesterday. Yesterday I had said that through qayde lutf, through the principle of grace, Allah now, he lays out breadcrumbs, for lack of a better example, where now he's asking us with our own free will to pick up the breadcrumbs and move towards him. He lays out several of them, not just one. If the prophets amaze you, that's your path. If the imams amaze you, that's your path. If your parents, if the ulama, if the Quran, if your own aql, whatever the case may be, there are several ways towards one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Holy Prophet says, Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. As many breaths as there are in this universe, that's how many paths there are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now for us to say, I don't know how to get to God, is a shame on people like me. I ended off last night, and I'm going to pick up there where I left off last night. Tonight, I talked about suffering. I said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, part of those breadcrumbs is tragedy, hardships, suffering. And I mentioned last night, before I segued into masaib, that if not for anything else, the purpose of that suffering is to destroy our ego. Ego runs from suffering. Because now all of a sudden, control the ego thought it had is no longer there. And it continues now to believe, I am qalil water. I can ward off the drops of najasat. I can ward off the voices of delusion and the voices of deviance out there. I'm strong enough for that. And time again, this ego gets burned and burned and burned. And Allah sometimes forces the matter, puts a crack in our sidewalk, makes us fall on our face, just to remind you that you're not everything you think you are. And we have to look at suffering a little bit through a different lens. I'm going to segue now through this suffering into the next two nights, where now I look at our shakila through the family life lens. In trying to cultivate a divine disposition, our spouses are important, our children and parents are important. And I have to have a conversation with all of you about these two elements, but I have to set it up first. I do that tonight. We segue into tomorrow, inshallah. But let's understand that growth and heroism travels through suffering. Suffering is, and this is a statement now, I want you to grasp it, suffering is the preparation and the purification for self-heroism. I'll give you examples. I'll give you some that are secular so you guys can feel like, okay, and then some that are religious. The Holy Prophet lost both his parents before he was 7 years old. Lost his grandfather at a very young age. Abu Talib alayhi salam did not actually take on his guardianship until he was about 12 years old. And then he went through his life in a society that was jahiliya in nature. Declared prophethood, and the first people to ridicule him were his own blood relations. Ridiculed, insulted, banished from his own city, attacked in terms of a war. Then in between all of that difficulty, loses the two major pillars of strength, Abu Talib and Bibi Khadija. And for a year now he grieves. And all of that suffering he went through, and he is one of the most, if not the most influential people in this mankind history. You look at Amir al-Mu'mineen, all of his grandeur, all of his fada'il, right? If water was ink and the trees were pen, et cetera, you could not, still couldn't write the fada'il of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Kalam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sahib al-Ghadir, his fadal go on and on and on. The first man to accept Islam, all those Zulfiqar tales and amazing stories of the warrior of Islam, the lion of God. You ask him, he says, Ana awwal al-madhloom. I am the first madhloom. Imam Hussein, Shah Astu Hussein. He's king. One step further, Deen Astu Hussein. Hussein is Deen. What a maqam. Had it not been for Hussein, we wouldn't have a Deen today. But the price he paid was severe. The suffering was severe. Go all the way down. Imam Sajjad, one of the largest funerals in Medina. To be buried in Baqi is a grand, grand respect for 30 years of crying tears of blood for his father. All that suffering were all preparation for them to become a hero. Even in today's modern world, in your DC and Marvel worlds, Superman had to lose his Krypton, right, to become Superman. Batman's father was shot in front of him to become Batman. I can give you more examples. We want to reach a level where we are a hero. We have growth inside of us, to our family, to our children, to our spouses, and to our God. And to prepare us for that, we have to taste suffering. People greater than me tasted suffering. Who am I? And part of that suffering And Allah doesn't do it to sit there and say, excellent, you look amazing as you suffer. No. He does that for several reasons. One reason, as a segue into my content tonight, is that he wants to somehow make us vulnerable. That's my word today. And let me use a couple of very important verses of the Quran to really bring my point home. If we can figure out a way to become vulnerable in front of God, then we have started the breadcrumbing process back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem is that we live in an identity crisis world. It's incredible. I really hope you guys are listening to other speakers. These ulama are doing a fantastic job of some of their topics. It's almost as if, you know, we sat in one room and we thought, okay, this, that, and we didn't. But some of these ulama, and I ask you, there is a buffet, there is a treasure, it's an embarrassment of riches. How many incredible lecture series are out there on YouTube in the comfort of your home on issues that are facing our kids and our youth and our young adults dead on. And part of it is this identity crisis. I want to speak a little bit about that through the lens of the tawfiq of Allah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. So here's the problem with people like me. I don't have one identity. I have multiple identities. And that's very normal. Not me, all of us. Even within the discussion on Shakila, there are categories of Shakila. Shakila Zahiri, Shakila Vasati, Shakila Haqiqi. Okay? That disposition that we show on the outside, that's exoteric, that's apparent. That Shakila, that's Darmiyani, Vasati in the middle as a bridge. And that Shakila that's inside the core of our core. Okay, follow my discussion tonight, please. And all of them play a very key role. All of them are very, very important. And if you ask yourself how you present yourself to the person in front of you, it's going to be different. There are a lot of us who don't like our own deficiencies. There are some of us who have a lot of self-doubt. We are self-conscious about many, many things. And if I don't like to visit those things inside of me, I don't want to show those things to the people in front of me. So what do? I create an avatar, a persona. I customize a personality. I figure out how do you want me to be? And I present that in front of you. And all that is a hollow shell. A covering, a mask, an avatar, right? You create a player inside your video games, sit there, you can select your hair, how tall you are, you can select your nose size, right, this and that, and you create your own personal avatar. That's me. And usually it looks nothing like what you actually look like. It's what you idolize to be one day. That's the persona that sometimes we present people in front of us. That Shakila is Zahiri. And that's okay, that's all part of it. I mean, no matter how much you're dying on the inside, if the cashier at No Frills says, oh, how are you today? You're like, I'm good, how are you? I can sit there and say, look, my mom has cancer, my husband lost his job, my kids are now at home, blah, 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 this and that, and while she's scanning your potatoes, it won't happen. You show her the shell. You show them the shell. Things are well, how are you? Great. Wonderful, thank you very much. Do you price match at Walmart? And then you move on. Or if I ask the cashier, how are you today, how long do you have? I go, not very long, let's move on. Just tell me you're good, let's move on. Very rarely do we remove the shell and tell every single individual that asks me kya hale what our actual halat is. Okay, we put on a shell. We put on this sort of Shakila Zahiri, which is normal, fine. Because you can't be intimate like that with everybody in terms of your words. Then there is this shakilaya vasati darmiyani, a middle, a bridging shakila that's a little bit dangerous. That's one that we cultivate. Oh, it's such an important conversation. Please follow my young guys. Please follow me, my young guys. Please follow me. Apparently, I found out that JCC shuts off social media while you're in this building. Because none of mine actually load afterwards. I thought that was brilliant. That's amazing. Now you're forced to look up here, alhamdulillah. At all this, mashallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You see, because we know our own deficiencies and we don't sometimes like to show people our actual asli shakila, we create this persona and we show it to the person thinking, that's how you want me to look. A fake shell of myself. So even though I'm dying to be more spiritual, I know that if I just wrap my hijab a little bit too tight, they're not going to want to socialize with me. So I'll loosen a pin. I'm dying to wear abaya to the majlis, but I know they're gonna be there, so I tighten up the clothes a little bit, just so they can think that I'm not that religious. Even though inside, I'm dying in this outfit. And the problem is, we end up now embracing the shell that we present to others as our actual existence. And our actual haqiqi shakila gets lost in the process. And we end up asking ourselves, what am I doing? Who am I really? And then you make up things, right? I'm a unicorn, I'm a cat, I should have been a boy. You start grasping for straws. You do, you start grasping for straws because the shell that you've created or I've created now has somehow replaced my actual haqiqi shakila that's somewhere inside of me, I just can't find it anymore. Because if I actually show them how I am, they may reject me. And what we don't realize is the heart of the one we're trying to impress is in the hands of the one that we should be impressing. He's muqallib al-qulub. He's the transformer of hearts. So you say, I'm sorry, God, you know this is not me. I don't want to be here. I don't want to wear this clothing. I don't want to say this. I don't want to hang out with these people. But just if you don't mind, let's put a pause on us so I can press play over here. We do that enough times and we end up fooling ourselves. Now come to the Quran. Oh, the Quran. Ya Allah, the Quran. They can burn the Quran all they want, they can't burn inside of our hearts, right? That's why Quran is so important. Let them do the maviyat of a zahir Quran. We have the Quran in natiq inside of us that we believe as our Ahlul Bayt. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Surah Hashr, my AV dream team. Surah Hashr, verse number 19. Beautiful link Allah is making. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, be like this. Sometimes Allah says, be like her. Surah Tahrim talks about the wives of the prophets. In there, Daraballahu mathala lilladhina amra'ata fir'aun. Be like the wife of Fir'aun. Sometimes like this verse, he says, don't be like these people. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those where they've forgotten Allah to the point where He's made them forget about themselves. Themselves, أَنفُسَكُمْ, meaning what? They're شَاكِلِ حَقِيقِ. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. They've done a huge disservice to themselves and to Allah. Yani khuda faramoshi, khud faramoshi. Forget yourself, you forget Allah. Dhikr khuda, dhikr nafs. You remember Allah, He makes you remember yourself. Sometimes I tell you, we give people way too much real estate in our lives. We let them dictate to us how we should act and dress and look and smell and where should we eat and what should we should order and how we should say it. Way too much, to the point where they now infiltrate us and make us somebody that we don't like ourselves. Imagine living a life where you can't look yourself in the mirror. Imagine coming home after an evening and feeling horrible about yourself. I sold my soul out for these people, but I need their acceptance. If I actually show them my shakila, they're going to ostracize me, isolate me, reject me. So let me put on a show. Let me embrace the shell as my haqiqat. In the process, I have wowed them, but I've confused myself. Massive issue we have right now. How do we tackle this? We have to sometimes take care of ourselves. Okay? I know that sounds very wishy-washy, but there's a reality to it. Now, let's come to Surah Maidah, verse number 105. It's incredible. This verse starts off by saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. All of you with me, inshallah? Yes, you're comfortable? Salwa ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Look, sometimes when you're in front of a classroom, like sometimes when I take a class upstairs, I come in for a period and I teach the grade 6s or the grade 8s or the grade 12s a certain subject. I talk to the whole class for about 10 minutes. I teach them some sort of a process or maybe a ruling in Islam, right, for the entire class. And then about halfway through, I'll call a student out. Ali, Zainab, Fatima. Those are all the names in a Shia school, right? There's no other names. There's gotta be, yeah. Ali M, Ali S, Fatima Z, Fatima J. You Shias, I tell you, man. Get some new names, man. You're teaching the class, all of a sudden, Ali, now my address, my address goes from the entire 22-member class to Ali. And what happens? 21 people, pew, right to Ali. Yeah? And I focus on Ali for two reasons. One is because I want to what? Catch his attention. Number two is I want him to understand something. So the focus goes from the massive classroom to Fatima, to Zainab, to Amir, to Shani, to Ali, to, I don't know, Jawad, to Muhammad, focuses down. Sometimes the Quran says, Ya Bani Adama. Sometimes the Quran says, Ya Ayyuhan Nas. And sometimes the focus is all the way down to, Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu. And many of our Shia Mufassirin have said, Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu, Ya'ani E Shia Tuna Ali. Right? Allah starts off this verse, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Not everybody. I'm talking to you, Zainab, you, Ali, you, Amir, you, Jawad. Alaykum anfusakum. Look after yourself. This is such a beautiful verse in line with this topic. Alaykum anfusakum. Look after yourself. A better translation is, upon you is yourself. Look after yourself. Take care of yourself. Don't neglect yourself. Don't deny yourself. A lot of us were raised thinking that I'm zero. Taqwa ilahi, to be pious and God-centric, means I have to destroy myself, forget myself, take myself out of the equation. I'm nothing. I'm zero. I'm dirt. So I forget about myself and I figure out how to serve other people and God. The Quran says, wait a second now. Alaykum anfusakum. You're not to be ignored. Because when you look after yourself, when you discover your haqiqi shakila, the rest of the verse says what? At that moment, la yudhirrukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum. The one who has deviated off the path, I'm asking you, look at the verse in today's context. He says, the ones who are off the path, the ones who are deviated, the ones who are manzilla, they what? La yudhirrukum. They can't touch you. There's no zarar from them unto you, provided idhahtadaytum, that you're guided. So it's incredible how the first portion of the verse says, alaykum anfusikum, and once you figured out yourself, you become untouchable to the drops of deviance. I'll bridge it, don't worry. Right now you're not with me, I get it. I'll bridge it, I promise you, stay with me. But look at the bridging in this verse. Once you look after yourself, once now you discover that haqiqi, once you remove the shell and stop being pulled by the strings of those that you're looking to impress, please be okay with me. Tell me I look good in what I'm wearing. Accept the way that I am. You know, tell me I have a big house and a nice car. Tell me that, please. That's why I leased this thing, man. Meanwhile, it's not who you are. Allah says, you look after yourself. After that, you go from qalil to kur, where they can't touch you eventually. They can't touch you. That's what God says. And then He says, breadcrumbs, ilallahi marji'ukum jami'an. Eventually, you'll make your way back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the condition is, alaykum anfusikum, and man dhalla, those drops of deviance, la yudhirrukum, they can't touch you. There's no zarar. Once you have that figured out, then the breadcrumbs lead you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not before that. You can't find God when you have a shell, an avatar, a persona, where now you've duped yourself, thinking, well, am I really like that? Have I become like this? Because be careful, right? You might end up being the very person you're pretending to be. That's the scary part. We blur the lines in our shakila. And our real essence that we work so hard on is buried inside somewhere. And God says, through the suffering, I want you now to become soft and vulnerable. To be vulnerable in front of Allah is very, very difficult. So we have to start somewhere, right? You guys are with me, inshallah, tonight? Yes? Over here, to my right? All of you, yes? All right, salu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. One of the best things that you can do for your spouse, if you're married in this audience, besides the dishes, one of the best things you can do for your spouse is allow them to be vulnerable in front of you. If your husband comes to you after a long day and the pressure of being a provider for the home sometimes becomes overbearing, and he comes home and he says, I'm having just a little bit of a mentally anxious day, don't demoralize the man. Don't emasculate him. Don't tell him, suck it up, figure it out. The garbage is full. The kids need to be fed. Let him have that moment with you as a spouse. If your wife comes to you, says, look, I don't want to go here or here or here tonight. I have social anxiety. I feel like I'm not raising my kids properly. I'm not balancing my work life and my home life. I feel like I wasted my last 10, 15 years really opening herself up to you as her husband, and you ignore her. You pacify with, yeah, you're good, don't worry. Because it's very, very difficult, very difficult to now display all of your self-doubts, all of your weaknesses, all of your deficiencies in front of, forget anybody, in front of the person that you love. It's very hard. And sometimes it only happens when it gets to a boiling point. Can't get out of bed, breaks down, crying for no reason. And they come to you hoping for a little bit of an opening, a little bit of a comfort, and they don't get it. They'll close up and they won't open up again. And that avatar comes up, and now you get the avatar, they get the avatar, they get the persona, they get the empty shell, and she or he ends up burying that hakiki shakila down to the basement all over again. I tried, he didn't want to hear it, she didn't want to hear it, and now I'm just going to keep going and going and going until I drop one day. The Quran says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَكَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. One of the first things you can expect when you get married is sukoon, itminan, comfort, contentment. And that sukoon is not the idea of just having a clean house and a freshly cooked meal. It's that I have a source at home that's waiting. If I have a rough day, I can be vulnerable with them. I can sit there and tell them all about my self-deficiencies and me being self-conscious. I'm not going somewhere because I don't like the way I look. I don't want to recite because I mumble a lot. I talk too fast, blah, blah, blah. I wish you guys lived in my head sometimes. People ask me, go back and listen to your speech. I'm like, qat'an, I will never listen to my speech. I can't watch myself up there. I know how I look. Do you think you want me to? Anyways, it's hard. Now imagine now the opposite. Imagine the opposite. That you come to your spouse now, right? With a lot of courage and say, you know what? I'm going to open up to my spouse. This is how I've been feeling for the past 10, 15 years. I'm 41 years old. It's not where I thought I'd be when I was 40 years old. I thought I had more kids by now and I'd own a house and I had this and this, that. And I don't have that at this age, right? Let me grieve that with you. And then you throw ungratefulness at her. How could you? You know how privileged you are. You're such a brat. What more do you want? What more can I do? And you put it back onto yourself. And I'm talking to myself up here. And she says, oh, now I have to sit there and I tried to be vulnerable and I got shut down. Because when you're able to give your spouse, husband or wife, that moment where they're able to really sort of remove all of the avatars, all the personas, all the empty shells, and show you their shakili haqiqi, this is who I am, and these are my issues right now, and you embrace them, and you accept them, you feel like you're free. You feel like you have a safety net to fall upon. Your next step then is to travel from your spouse to the musalla in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you've tasted the beauty that I've shown somebody in my reality and they accepted it, man. Didn't ridicule it. Didn't tell me I was crazy. Didn't call me a spoiled brat. Didn't compare me to the wives of India, Pakistan, who right now, you know, have nothing compared to what you have. Didn't sit there and say, oh, real men work 16 hours. You work 8 hours from home and you're still tired. Emasculating. It's a big problem that we have. And that's why when you look at something like death, not my topic, it's incredible, the istilah used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Death has been called yaqeen, has been called many things, but in Surah Jummah, it's called a mulaqat. إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. That death that you farar from, that you run from, that you flee from, that death will end up being a meeting. A meeting between who? Me and somebody else? No, a meeting between you and your shakilai haqiqi. That meeting will happen at death. And that's what sometimes people like me fear. I did my level best, my whole life, to shove that actual Asa Jafri inside of me down, down, down. God says, oh, welcome to the grave. This is who you truly are. And that scares me. I don't want to meet that person. I was good with putting on a persona here. Part of it is for us to come back to him. It's to find that hero inside of you, to be vulnerable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes he says, look, if I need to sit there and ruffle your feathers and make you a little bit uncomfortable, then I have to do that. But that's temporary pain for a greater gain. And I'm sorry, it's temporary. There's a new normal afterwards, no doubt. There's some of you who have lost your wives and your children and your young Javan children and your fathers and your mothers. Those are not holes that can ever be refilled by anybody. I'm not downplaying that. But I'm saying that becomes an avenue to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That becomes all of those factors that purifies you. Because it makes you very, very vulnerable. Because when you discover that, when you alaykum anfusikum, nobody can touch you. Allah says they have no effect on you. Idha tadaytum, so long as you are guided. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. That's why the first place to start with when it comes to you developing your own divine disposition, because we can't do it alone. That's one thing that we have to realize. We can't do it alone. Because we are qaleel. We are all qaleel. The slightest little bit of drop and we are done. We're useless. Not just water is useless water. I'm sorry. You can't drink it. You can't use it to purify yourself. You can't do anything with it. It goes down the drain. And the kamal of water is either I purify something or I fulfill someone's thirst. That's the kamal and perfection of water. When that water can't reach that, it becomes a failure. Our perfection is also something else. We can't do it if we just wrap ourselves in our own qillat. I think I can do this myself. I don't need God. I don't need the masjid. I don't need the ulama. I don't need the ahl bayt. I'm good where I am. I know what's wrong. I know what's right. I don't need people telling me what's right and what's wrong. Echo chambers, algorithms, filter bubbles, all meant to create what? Me and you as our own idol. The Prophet himself says, Ya ilahi la takilni ila nafsi tarfata'aynin abada. Oh my Lord, oh ilahi, don't leave me alone for a blink of an eye. I don't want to be at the disposal of myself for a blink of an eye. The Prophet of Allah. We need help. We need help. And the first place to start with, if you're married, is your spouse. Have that conversation. There should be a safe zone between you two. Where now you're able to say, look, this is how I'm feeling deep, deep inside of me. These are my triggers, these are my wounds. And they should be able to embrace that. And those who are not married, looking to get married, this has to be one of your criteria. That's why taqwa is so important. That's why Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. That if you search for a spouse based on money and beauty, you'll lose the money, you'll lose the beauty, and the taqwa is never there to begin with. After a while, that person that might be zahiran beautiful is a person you don't want to sit in the same room as. The person that you took on the entire world to marry is a person now you don't even want to be with. That money dwindles really quickly. But then he says, when you actually marry for taqwa comes, money and beauty comes as well with it. Tomorrow we talk about spousal selection. Not just for my young guys, they love this topic, but my elders and my parents, mashallah, who have children, who are at the age where now as a family collectively, you're looking for a spouse. These are things that are important. You have to help your child pave the path for their own divine disposition. It can't be done alone. If I had more time, I'd talk about circle of friends. I've spoken about friends 4 years ago on this very member. I'm not gonna go over that again. But it can't be done alone. The Prophet of Allah has a very beautiful hadith. I will summarize and then masaib. And he says this, and I want you to understand, I want myself to understand it. The idea is that the last person to refer to in your own self-development is yourself. We're not the best judge of character when it comes to us. We're not the best judge. We got everybody else figured out. We have zero figured out when it comes to ourselves. This guy should do this. That sister should do this. This guy. All these prescriptions and nuskhas for that person and this person. Nothing for the person in the mirror. That's when someone else in our life, our circle of friends, our spouse, our parents, our close relatives. If they truly mean well, they'll help us elevate towards that shakilah tawhidi. It's an inward process that can't be void of God. And we have to pick up moments where God inspires us. These are inspiring nights. They're not meant to be flashes where now, come Friday or Saturday of next week now, we're back to our pre-Muharram station. No. You work so hard to come every single night now. Take something back with you. Take something I can apply to myself and maybe go one step higher in this disposition. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And this topic is so well connected to Karbala, it's incredible. Every year on this night of Muharram, I have a little bit of a discussion on the mothers in Islam. Mothers. A typical mother is a person who is very selfless. Who'd rather see themselves in pain than to see their children in pain. A mother is somebody that when it's time for hajat on the screen in Shabbat Qadr, duas for herself are way down the list. Could be her marhum parents, it could be her children, it could be her husband, it could be, you know, this and that. Maybe even her mother-in-law, who knows? That list. But duas for herself, she sometimes runs out of time. To the very last breath that she takes in this world, she's your mother. She'll stop forcing you maybe, but she won't stop praying for you. Wherever you are, just be happy. Whenever I go on a trip, my mom tells me, take your medication and make sure you have some sort of dried fruit in your bag, cashews or almonds. Because sometimes you come home from a majlis and you get hungry, and sometimes I know you're embarrassed to ask the host, can you make something for me? Just pop a few cashews and go to bed. Every single time I travel. I travel next week, she's going to call me for sure. Beta zarur leke jana kaju or badam. I said, no problem. That's how mothers are. Selfless. They can't help it. Fresh food in the fridge, old food in the fridge. She'll eat the old foods quietly in the corner to make sure you have the fresh food. Prophet of Allah would always warn those people who were motherless in this world. That shade of dua is no longer there. People will try to somehow pay their mothers back. The Prophet says, don't bother. You can carry her on your shoulders doing hajj. Haven't paid her back. Because while you're looking to pay her back, she did it out of just love for you, nothing else. That's how mothers are. That's how mothers are. But the mothers of Karbala were different. They took that disposition, they took that fitri love they had for their children, and they put it aside for the love they had for Hussein. Whereas our mothers would do their best to protect us from any sort of harm, the mothers of Karbala would prepare their kids for harm. It's a maqam and a level that we can't understand. We don't get it. We even question, is that not wrong? Is that not dhulm? How could she? And tonight I want to remember Bibi Zainab as a mother tonight. She brings her honor Muhammad to Karbala, and these were very young Ona Muhammad. Some say 8 and 9 years old. Could be. They weren't baligh. That's enough for us to understand. These types of details aren't always things we have to be stuck on. And it's a very difficult masaib only because It's one of the first instances that individuals that young would give their life for Imam Hussein. They would approach Imam Hussein and say, "Mamu, give us ijazah to go to war." These were not his kids. And sometimes you feel a little bit of a different type of love for your siblings' kids than you do for your own children. Imagine Imam Hussein looking at these two. And he would say to them, "Go and talk to your mother first, and then come and talk to me." And they would say that it's our mother who sent us. "Zainab, what are you asking me for? What are you asking me for? You want me to send your own Muhammad into the battlefield?" One alim had said that Zainab at that moment reminded Hussein, "Bhaiya, do you remember Siffin?" "Yes." "How old was Abbas and Siffin?" 14, 15 years old. "Did Baba send Abbas into the war?" "Yes, he did." "Do you remember the pride that Baba had when he looked at Abbas fighting in Siffin?" "That's my Abbas. That's my Abbas." "Yes, I remember that. Why are you depriving me of that pride when it comes to Muhammad?" As hard as Hussein tried to convince Zainab, they're young. She said, I can't watch you give your Ali Akbar and me not give my own Muhammad. And so these two were prepared for war. Now tell me, how do you prepare kids that small for war? Ask my fathers in the audience, my mothers who are listening, 8 years old, 7 years old, how small are these frames? Abu Fazl Abbas had one role at that moment. To dress them, to armor them for war. Imagine now the personality of Abu Fazl Abbas trying somehow to find things that would fit these two individuals. They say that 5-6 different times an armor would be put on, too big for Ono Muhammad. Another armor, too big for Ono Muhammad. To the point they would tie the armor against the body of Ono Muhammad. And then they tried the helmet, too big. And then Hussein pulls out two green imamas, ties one around Own's head, one around Muhammad's head, just to place the helmet onto the head. At that moment, now they mount both of them on the horse. As long as they were together inside the Maidan of Karbala, they fought like the grandchildren of Ali. But when it came the moment where the enemy separated those two, that's when they were ambushed, when they were surrounded, and eventually now they fall from the horse. Assalamu alayka, ya Aba Abdullah. Abbas enters the Maidan of Karbala. Hussein enters the Maidan of Karbala. Everybody's watching Zainab in the Khayma. Hussein brings Own back. Abbas brings Own back. Completely, absolutely lifeless. They lay both down on the plains of Karbala. Now the Khayma opens. The mother of these two walk out. Zainab approaches Own Muhammad. Everyone is silent, watching Zainab. The mother of these two, she kneels down, places one hand on the chest of Muhammad, one hand on the chest of Own, falls into sajda. "Ya Allah, accept my qaleel sacrifice on my behalf." Matame Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.